Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space. You always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Always have to get the Podgo bag. Javier, what are you spending the Podgo bag on this week?
Oh, actually, my Jordans came in. My royal blue Jordan 1s came in. They're right over there. I'd grab them, but I don't want to mess with the audio.
That's smart.
Yeah, those came in. Part of the Podgo bag went towards that. Also, our merch.
Yeah, which we'll talk about soon. I spent part of the Podgo bag on Call of Duty Vanguard. Bought it on release day.
No, look at you.
Yeah, gonna play it pretty much the whole weekend that this episode's released. I will be playing Call of Duty Vanguard. If you have a podcast and you want to monetize it, the easiest way to do so is with Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience at podgo.co, P-O-D-G-O.co. And when you get there, be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo part of the application. Welcome to Crossbody Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And I just tried for 5 minutes to explain the lineage of the parka to Javier, and holy shit.
It did not work.
It did not work, but we're going to try to get through it together as a group, as a unit. Me, Javier, and you, the listener, we're going to get through this together, but this week we're talking about la parka.
J, E, and the people. We're going to figure this one out.
J, E, and our peeps.
And the homies!
And the homies, yes. We're going to talk about La Parka and his start in AAA. We're going to talk about him coming to WCW. We're going to talk about the fact that there are two La Parkas. There were two La Parkas for a long time.
They look exactly the same.
It is very confusing. We're going to talk about that. All that good stuff. What do you know about La Parka?
I know that he had the nickname of the chairman. So clearly he had a chair gimmick.
Love chairs.
I knew that he looked like a better version of Pentagon, Cero Miedo.
Yep.
Or Pentagon Zero, or whatever the fuck his name was. And then I know that he's Mexican.
These are all facts. I picked this week. I love La Parka because randomly I started watching through older, like 97, 98 WCW. With a friend of mine, and we decided which wrestlers were our guys. And early on, we saw a La Parka match. We're like, that fucking guy. He's hilarious without, you don't hear him say a word. And he's the funniest guy in the ring, has a ton of charisma. And he has this weird space where he's a cruiserweight, but he's definitively not a cruiserweight in the way he wrestles and the way he looks. But they're always like, you go in there with the luchadors and the cruiserweights. You have fun. They're like, yeah, you get to be the big guy in the match. And he does a good job of it.
I liked him. He has a very fun style. He has a really good look.
It's a great look.
Fantastic look. Tons of charisma. He's wearing a mask, and I could still see the facial mannerisms.
Yeah.
Like his body language out there too. Like the man just got it. He got entertainment.
And by getting it, we have so many good wrestlers that we're going to see in this week's episode. There are so many legends of wrestling that we are going to see in these matches, which is very exciting. Before we dive into all that, all the housekeeping things, we have new merch, and it is tight.
It fucks.
If you go to fullpressshop.com, you can look at our two new logos. We're an old school pod. We're retro people. We cover things in the 90s. With that, we've got the Blockbuster merch and we got the Fresh Prince merch. Get your new shirts, get your mugs, and of course, Javier's demand, get your long sleeve tees.
Oh, I'm so excited. I ordered both the long sleeves. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Got them. Or not, don't got them yet, but I'm very excited for when they do come in. And the boy will be repping on a weekly basis. The pod.
You should go and get your merch, fullpressshop.com. If we have a sale, we'll tell you about it. We'll tell you if there's a sale coming up. But you know what? You should go and rep the merch. Support the boys. Send us photos of you wearing the merch. That would be crazy. We have not had anyone to show us that they're wearing the merch. If you do it and you're the first person, we will shout you out on the pod. 100%.
And if you've had our merch this whole time and haven't said anything,
then take a photo and tell the boys.
Dude, what the fuck?
We'll lose our collective minds. That'd be great.
Yeah, Evan's probably the only person in the world with a crossbody of work shirt. So if someone
incorrect, my fiance has one.
And she Evan's wears the it. Only person in the world that has.
She wears it more than I do. On top of all the merch, also before we get off the merch thing, shout out to Raph Marsh. He designed the logos. They look amazing. If you need any design work done, at Raph Marsh on Twitter. He's your guy. Looked great. Follow the podcast on Twitter. We talked about Twitter already. At Crossbody of Work. That's all great. I think that's all the things. Wherever you're listening, rate, subscribe, tell your friends.
Five-star frog splash.
Five-star frog splash from the top rope, baby. We're on the road to episode 100. We have at least one more three-parter before we get there. We'll announce that.
Possibly two.
Yeah, possibly two. We'll announce that at the end of the episode. That's it. That's all. We're done here. Not the episode. The episode has lots left. The Barca began wrestling at age 16 in 1982 under his real name. Also wrestled under a couple different names. One is the Assassin from Tepito.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a name.
Yeah. El Asesino de Tepito.
I love that.
Yeah. And then Principe Island. Island Prince. And then he became La Parca, which is an altered version of La Parca, which apparently means the Reaper.
I'm sorry. How is this man not a multiple time world champion in every promotion?
I don't know, but it's horseshit. We'll talk about that.
This dude, like, we had the belt collector, which, you know, like Ultimo Dragon at one point held, what was it? Like, a 9 belts. Why the fuck was La Parca not holding 82 belts?
He should have been holding all the chairs.
One over Kobe, fucking 82 belts.
So then he became La Parca in AAA. And that's where our first match is going to look. It's Triple Mania 2B, because Triple Mania 2 had 3 nights, and we are looking at the second night. It is a 2 out of 3 falls, 8-man tag match, and holy shit, these teams.
This is a 2 out of 3 falls match?
It is.
Explains so much.
Yes, there's a lot happening. The teams are La Parca teaming with Blue Panther, Psicosis, and Eddie Guerrero. So we're getting our boy Eddie Guerrero, who, if you're unfamiliar, we covered in the first ever episode.
King
shit. Versus Tiger Mask 3, El Hijo del Santo, Octagon, and Jushin Thunder Liger. Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask 3 being on loan from New Japan for this pay-per-view.
What a fucking matchup.
Holy shit.
What a collection of just great fucking wrestlers.
If you want to go out of your way and watch a match, it's filmed, it's from 1994. It's filmed on, like a Game Boy Advance.
Not even.
But the actual action is crazy good in this match.
Yeah, this is good shit. This is very good shit,
as they say. Hard to do all the spots in this match because, one, the camera work is a little shoddy, and two, they're too fast.
There's so much going on at all times.
So you do know about Lucha Libre rules in terms of tags, right?
Yeah, they don't.
They don't give a shit.
Which is why the Lucha Brothers kept getting in trouble.
It's like AEW referees. They just don't care about tags.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the whole thing. Remember right towards the beginning stages of AEW when the Lucha Bros kept getting shit from like people on Twitter internet, because they wouldn't like hold the ropes or they wouldn't tag or whatever. It's like, man, they're fucking luchadors.
Yeah. And this match, full of legends. We talked about Eddie already. Jushin Thunder Liger, one of the biggest names in Japanese.
Can't wait for the Jushin Thunder Liger episode. I really cannot. That might be a three-parter, to be honest.
I think it has to be, just based on the length of his career. We've seen a couple of these other guys before, too. Psicosis, obviously, was a big luchador in Western wrestling as well.
Love that mask.
In American wrestling. We've seen Octagon before in the Eddie Guerrero episode. He was part of that match.
Oh!
Yeah, the one with Art Barr.
Don't remember him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's okay. We were focused on Eddie. La Parca, for those who don't know what La Parca's gear looks like, Javier, how would you describe La Parca's outfit to the people?
Oh, better version of Penta Cero Miedo.
He's in AEW. A big skeleton costume.
It's literally just, so what the fuck is it? The kid from motherfucking Karate Kid. Johnny Lawrence in the original Karate Kids dressed like when it's Halloween and he dressed like as a skeleton.
Yeah.
It's like that, But if you put that on a wider Mexican man and he's wearing latex.
And he has a hood as well.
And he has a hood with long hair slipping out of it.
Yeah. It's a very distinctive look. Obviously, usually in the black and white like a skeleton. But he mixes it up sometimes. Sometimes he'd have the blue gear. Sometimes the red. Sometimes his gear started to look a little bit more Power Ranger-y.
I love the yellow one.
Yellow one's really cool. Yeah.
Specifically the yellow one. That's my favorite of the bunch. 100%.
This match, again, I think if we try to go through spot by spot, is going to be a little nuts. What did you think of La Parca in this match?
I don't even have the notes to go spot by spot.
It was too much.
It was literally. My first notes were, what a collection of talent in this match. Eddie Guerrero, I think, started the match.
It was Eddie and Liger, yeah.
Yeah, Eddie and Liger started the match. What an exchange between those two guys. I mean, fucking, I would die to watch that match, which is definitely out there, and I just have to look it up. But I'm just going to save that for a special treat when I'm depressed or something. At one point, I think right after this, La Parca comes into the match, and he just is, I don't know who he's in the ring with.
Tiger Mask 3.
Tiger Mask 3. And he just decides, I'm going to grab your leg and never let go of it.
Yes, he does some classic heel grounding. He's like, fuck your leg, little fast man.
Yes, your leg is now, it now belongs to me. I have a third leg and it is not my dick.
We get corner chops by La Parca, a suplex. He's looking good. And again, this is where the note came in where I was like, this is too fast for me to focus on what's going on.
Yeah, commentary starts talking about Sigmund Freud and I was like, yeah, I'm having a fucking Freudian slip with this shit.
Here's more fun for this one is that... of the matches, every match that we cover that's not in WCW, so that's 3 out of 5, has Spanish commentary. I have no fucking idea what's being said. Javier understood everything.
Yeah, I speak fluent Spanish.
I learned Duolingo Portuguese.
Nice!
It's not the same.
I guess some of us are just built different, you know?
Eu falo pequeno português, but like, not a lot!
Hey, Portuguese!
Yeah. Commentary at one point just busts out laughing because Psicosis does a slide and he misses the person
by a mile
and just lands flat on the ground on the outside, and commentary thinks it's the funniest goddamn thing in the world.
Oh, dude. No. Was that the drop toll hold spot?
I think so.
Yeah, fucking Psicosis eats a drop toll hold and just slides out of the ring.
Yeah, he's gone forever.
That was the funniest shit ever. And after that, Liger takes control of the match. Yeah. And he is just like putting on a fucking clinic. Technically just ruining whoever the fuck he's in the ring with.
I think it was Eddie.
Yeah. He's technically just destroying Eddie. My thing about Liger in this match was he was really good at balancing the two things with Lucha Libre, which is the technical aspect of it.
Yeah.
Which he was probably the best technical wrestler in the match at this point.
Yeah.
And also the speed aspect of it, because, yeah, he's very good. He could do the Lucha Libre style if he needs to. But he was really good at changing the pace whenever he felt like it. Because there was points where he was grounding Eddie, and he was really wearing him down and doing all the technical aspects, nitty-gritty and all that. But then he would also pick up the space, and he'd bust out a Hurricane Rana. He would try to get some head scissors going. He would try to do a couple dives, do a big move off the top rope. And, you know, it was really the cool... Like, a lot of this match felt like it ran through Drusen's Thunder Liger because of the way that he's able to gauge the pace of how the match should be going.
Yeah. La Parca is involved in the first fall. So we're going to get to the first fall here. There is a doomsday device by Tiger Mask and Liger on Blue Panther. La Parca goes up top. He's going to try to break it off. He gets tossed by Liger, and then we get the first fall, which I think was on Blue Panther.
Yeah, it was like an arm drag.
Pretty much, yeah. And again, so much to try to keep up with. Liger does a fake dive spot to the outside, which was money. It is so nice.
La Parca starts beating all kind of ass.
Yes.
All kind of it.
He's keeping Octagon stuck in the corner. You know, he gets La Parca, decent crescent kick.
Yes.
Nice. Came out of nowhere.
He did a pretty cool spinning heel kick at one point too, which was really nice. Yeah. There was a lot of kicks from La Parca. I was not expecting the kicks.
Yeah. It's a lot happening. This is also the point where in the match where I realized that the referees in AAA, at least at this point, wore suspenders. I was like, I like it here.
Yeah. This was also the point in the match where I wrote down La Parca is just here for the vibes.
Truly.
Then I wrote, I literally have no idea what the fuck is going on. And that is my last note on the match.
The second fall, Sikosas with a dive to the outside off the top rope onto El Hijo del Santo. A top rope leg drop by La Parca to Octagon gets us the second fall, so we're all tied up.
And this is a great leg drop, by the way. He got a lot of air on that shit.
He did. This is where I noted that Sikosas was really standing out for me in this match because he's so fucking fast. And he's so small.
He's fast as fuck, boy.
That's true.
And he's got a great mask. I really love
it's such a unique look with like the horns and everything.
And they put him in a fucking lawnmower in WWE. Anyways.
Yep. La Parca snatches Tiger Mask up from behind at one point, which was hilarious. He looked like a horror movie villain. And that leads to an Eddie Guerrero. I thought Eddie Guerrero was about to hit the Three Amigos, and Eddie hits a jackhammer. Like, it looks like a jackhammer. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I think it was meant to be more of like a oomphed suplex than a jackhammer, but it just ended up looking like a jackhammer.
It's also before Goldberg, so Goldberg stole that from Eddie. That's what we're
saying. Yeah, well, you know how Eddie likes doing like kind of when he would hold people up and then he'd like exaggerate the fall, like the snap of it, just because he's Eddie Guerrero and he could do that type of shit. I think it was one of those, and then he just kind of rotated with it a little bit, so it did end up looking like a jackhammer.
Yeah. Did you get a random glitch around 16 minutes into the...
Oh, yes, when the match just stopped playing.
It just stops. If you skip ahead about 30 seconds, it will resume for those...
But, like, commentary's still going?
It's very confusing. Skip ahead, Liger and Eddie are on the outside. La Parca has a little bit more shine here. He's in with Tiger Mask. He gets mixed up in the ropes. Tiger Mask does a dive on him to the outside. And then we get to the finish of the match. Blue Panther and El Hijo del Santo in the ring. Del Santo and Octagon hit top rope moves on Sikosas. Octagon then makes Blue Panther tap out while Sikosas is simultaneously pinned by Del Santo.
Yeah.
Like, it's a double, it's a submission and a pin at the end of the match. So they win 3-1, I guess? I don't know.
An absolute shit show.
I loved this match. It was so hard to keep up with. But if you want to show somebody, hey, here's what Lucha Libre looked like in the 90s, put on this fucking match and just watch.
See, this match was made for the two of us because we both have ADHD.
It's true.
That is the only reason.
There's so much happening, and it's happening so quickly.
That I don't have to pay attention to anything. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's just not, it's why I love action movies. Because action movies are great for people with ADHD because it's just mindless. You don't really have to pay attention. Things are going to go boom, and there are going to be gunfiring and shit. This was basically the action movie of wrestling matches because it was just you don't have to follow along with what's happening. It's just fast as fuck, and you're gonna have fun.
If you look up, you're gonna see something cool happen, which is nice. Yeah. Let's skip ahead to match number 2, November 18th, 1996. It is La Parca's debut in WCW versus Juventud Guerrero, somebody he would feud with a lot.
Hoovy,
we do like Hoovy. We like the juice. AAA had a deal with WCW to work on their shows. WCW realized how successful ECW was in bringing in luchadors, and so WCW was like, let's do that. WCW's cruiserweight division, miles ahead of WWF's light heavyweight division. That is a fact. I will not argue it. I don't think anybody would argue the otherwise. If they did, they might be S.A. Rios or Taka Michinoku.
Or Vince McMahon.
Or Vincent Kennedy McMahon. This match is just on a Nitro. It is La Parca's debut. This is part of the reason he would stand out as a comedic character. In this match, he just stands out as being pretty different from the other AAA competitors they brought in.
Yeah, he definitely looks different from everybody.
He does. And his style is different.
Yeah, I mean, physically, he looks different. Stylistically, he's completely different from everybody else. And honestly, it just kind of felt like the second he debuted, before the bell even rang, like, this guy's already a star in the cruiserweight division.
Oh, for sure. Hoovy is standing on the top turnbuckle to start the match, and it starts out hot by just diving at La Parca.
And he misses? Didn't he miss?
He does miss.
It's a very fast start, which is fun. This match is not very long. It's probably like 9 minutes or something along those lines. And it's pretty much non-stop action, I want to say, but kind of like controlled non-stop action, not like you get with a lot of the cruiserweight matches, especially from the earlier WCW days, like around you said this was 96.
Yeah,
around this time period. It's really it's really kind of like not psychotic, like it's based on psychology, and like they're trying to tell a story of La Parca being different, but Hoovy still being like the guy. Like he's really good
at what he does.
Yeah, because if you think about it, aside from Rey Mysterio, who best encapsulates the luchador type of lucha libre kind of style? It's Juventud Guerrera.
Hoovy and Psicosis. Those are my two.
Yeah, it's Hoovy, maybe Ultimo Dragon, but he was really more submission based than anything. Look, Parca, there's a point here very early on where I just said, okay, is La Parca the greatest wrestler of all time? And it's when he does a spin-a-rooney to get up.
Yep.
Most people would do a kip up or just pick themselves up. He just said, fuck that, spin-a-rooney.
Yeah. La Parca goes up and over the ropes, slingshots back into the ring, and then uses his legs to scoop Hoovy to the outside. I was like, that's creative. I haven't seen that before.
My favorite thing about La Parca, by the way, which is a trend throughout all of these matches, is that he wrestles like he doesn't give an absolute fuck and is only giving about maybe 50% worth of effort.
Yeah, and then he whips out incredible moves. Like, he was also hitting kip-ups. We talked about how he did the spin-a-rooney to get up. He also did kip-ups, and he looks like he couldn't be asked. He's like an original Orange Cassidy.
Yes! Yes! Yeah. Oh my god, yes!
La Parca has the same vibes, all right? It's Luchador Orange Cassidy.
Oh, shit!
And then he does hit a suicide dive after he launches Hoovy to the outside. We get back in the ring. La Parca goes up top. Hoovy crotches him. And then we get a springboard Rana while La Parca is seated on the top rope. And I was just like, oh, yeah, Hoover Dude's really good.
Yeah. And then we get a rough springboard moonsault where it looks like Hoovy fucking murdered this man. Like his knee hit him straight in the face. It looked pretty vicious. La Parca does a plancha to the outside. And I'm a little down the line. He does a Romero special, which is kind of a trend for him throughout these matches. But like this is a really cool spot because he lets go of the arms. The person Hoovy breaks out of it. And he's just kind of like has him seated upwards in a little bit. So they stay like that for a few seconds. And then he just drops Hoovy.
And Hoovy looks like he tries to like turn into an elbow drop as he falls. And he just can't do it.
No, you cannot. It's really hard. There's not enough space and gravity exists.
No, not enough time.
You're not Neville. You're not the man that gravity forgot.
I loved that La Parca hit a powerbomb right around this time, too.
Yes.
And he goes for a pin where he just puts his hands on Hoovy's face. He looks like he's in, like, full guard position. He's just like, all right, we're just going to – are you done now? He's like, nobody needs to know. Shh, 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 shh. Make Hoovy shut up.
It's like your older brother when you got hurt.
It's okay. I didn't
like
I didn't
my brother would do this hard. All the time to me, where like he'd fucking flail me around the bedroom because was the little brother, and we would just be doing wrestling moves. His favorite was the F5, and I remember one time he did the F5, and I caught my foot on the wall really hard, and it hurt like a motherfucker. And I was like on the brink of crying, and he's just like, "No, shut the fuck up."
We had the way our house was is our living room had like really high cathedral ceilings, like it was really tall. Oh, and the way that you could get like when you went upstairs, you could still look over into the living room, and it was like an 8-10 foot drop probably. And my brother, who is 8 years older than me, what he would do is he's like, "You need to learn the music I listen to." So I would have, they would be playing music on the CD player, and they'd be like, "What band is this?" And if I got them wrong, I would get dropped onto the couch from like 10 feet in the air. And the one time I bounced and I went off, I was like, I want to say 6, maybe 7. I bounced and just landed flat on our wood coffee table. And he comes down, so he's like, "Are you okay?
Did you break the
No, it's okay. No, it was like an old wooden coffee table.
Oh, no. The indestructible
from the
time.
Civil War. Like, it was crazy.
But not of the United States. Of, no. Like, fucking France.
Spanish Civil War. So he stopped doing that after I, full-on cross-bodied onto the table. So
Jesus Christ.
Older brothers are fun.
Anyways.
La Parca dives into the ring post as Hoovy gets away from him. We get a top rope springboard Hurricanrana by Hoovy, and then one of the clunkiest looking Hurricanrana spots by Juventud, because it can't all be great.
I'm sorry, that was a Hurricanrana?
That's what they were going for, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was a rolling DDT.
Nope.
Oh my god.
Do the like you know, when they spin around the guy and then he gets up for the Hurricane Rana. And yeah,
that's what happening. Shit, I thought it was a DDT. Fuck me. That looked terrible.
Laparca misses a Swanton bomb. He's hits a scoop slam, gets up top. He's like, I'm going to do this.
Fuck it.
Fuck it, Swanton bombs.
And then out of nowhere, he hits a fucking Phoenix Splash and wins the match.
Oh, yeah. It was lit.
It was literally out of nowhere.
Laparca is the coolest man in the world. They're like, yeah, you can have a Phoenix Splash just casually as you finish.
Just literally from nowhere. You just hit it out of nowhere, too. Yeah, it's like a fucking RKO this thing came out of.
They're like, Laparca, we got to go home. He's like, all right, I'll get up top. Very chill. Very cool guy. Oh, I love this match. A great debut. Like, if you're watching at home and you see this dude win with the Phoenix Splash, you're like, and it looks the way he looks and he's acting the way he's acting, you're like, this is the coolest wrestler alive.
Yeah. By this point, I thought he was the coolest wrestler alive.
And you were right. When we get back, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're looking at another Laparca WCW match. Back from the break, we are at Sold Out 1998. I thought that Sold Out only had 1 year of existing. There's actually four, the things you learn.
I knew that.
I didn't. I thought it was the one that only had one. I don't know what I'm thinking. I think I'm thinking of New Blood Rising, which was terrible and near the end of their existence. We are looking at an eight-man tag because there's nothing that they love more than just putting a bunch of luchadors and cruiserweights into an eight-man tag and saying, all right, go. This one opens the show, and it is Laparca, Silver King, Psicosis, and El Dandy versus Juventud Guerrero, Super Kahlo, Liz Mark Jr., and Chavo Guerrero Jr.
We need to stop everything right now.
Okay.
Because, Evan, who are you to doubt El Dandy?
I love El Dandy.
I fucking love El Dandy. First off, I didn't know who El Dandy was until I heard the Bret Hart promo. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? El Dandy might be one of my 17 greatest wrestlers of all time.
El Dandy, I'm not convinced, isn't the inspiration for Jack Black and Nacho Libre. He looks like him a little bit. Just a little bit.
I know!
It's great.
Also about this match, Dusty Rhodes is on commentary, and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing.
It's good, baby, watching Silver King go out there, baby, do his thing.
Dandy go out there, baby.
Oh, he's a big dandy. Laparca, at this point, he comes out. He has his chair. So he is fully the chairman of the board at this point. And he is in the ring as we start the match. And he just wants to hit somebody with a chair. And they won't let him. He's just walking around holding his chair. And he's like, can I hit him? Can I hit him?
Also, why is Conan wearing a mask and also the hat?
Okay. Super Kahlo wrestles with a hat and glasses on over his mask.
That's Conan, right?
I don't know.
That looks just like Conan.
I don't think it's Conan. It is definitively not Conan.
Oh, shit. I thought it was Conan this whole time.
It is somebody named Rafael Garcia. But no, he looks like a fucking Invisible Man cosplay. Like, he's got the glasses on, and he's got the weird hat. It's not even like a baseball cap. It's like, it's not a Kangol hat, but it's close.
It's the Hispanic man's hat. That's the best way I can do it, because every single person in my family, aside from my father, has that hat.
As we continue to talk about these wrestlers who are in this match, Psicosis has Power Ranger-inspired gear, and it looks fucking awesome.
It does. It looks pretty fucking cool.
Also, I didn't realize this, but we're now seeing two different matches where Psicosis and Laparca are on the same team. They would actually be a tag team for a while in WCW. I didn't know that.
Huh!
It's a cool team. It's a good team.
Also, we need to talk about it. Silver King.
Oh, yes, please.
But he's wearing pink tights.
He's wearing pink tights, and he also looks like a dad.
Silver King.
Yes.
But he's wearing pink tights.
Yes.
That's what. So, I'm sorry. Is the Silver fucking Surfer maroon?
Could be.
Is the Dark Knight fucking yellow? Like, what the fuck is this?
I don't know. Maybe he's Silver because he's old, because he looks like he has at least 7 children.
Yeah, that man has a pension plan with WCW. That's for damn sure. El Dandy gets in the match, and honestly, I don't even remember what the fuck he did, because I was too busy going stupid. I straight up went crazy. And then I turn back to the screen and Laparca's back in the match. And he starts going stupid.
He's dancing against Hoovy.
He is shucking and jiving like no tomorrow. That man is in a jazz bar in 1932.
They both baseball slide to the outside at the same time, him and Hoovy. And then Laparca's doing knee shakes. He's doing his dance. He's rattling and rolling. Gets on the apron with Hoovy. Tries to swing at Hoovy, who just steps back like a foot. And Laparca just eats shit on the apron.
He did not just slip.
He dove at him.
He fucking... I know he did it on purpose. Yeah. Like, it was definitely a choreographed thing that they had already... Or a pre-planned thing that they had done with the match. But at the same time, it looked so fucking funny just watching that man slip.
It looked so authentic.
It was so great. And then he does a strut with Hoovy.
Yeah.
After he catches him. So he catches... Hoovy tries to go for like a crossbody. Laparca grabs him and he just starts doing the Ric Flair strut while he's holding him up.
Yeah, and gets a spin kick for his trouble. Punches Rain on him in the corner, and then we get a diving Hurricane Rana by Laparca.
The king. I mean, I'm sorry, but Rey Mysterio is no longer the greatest luchador of all time. It's Laparca.
So it was at this point in the match, after there was the apron spot and then the diving Hurricane Rana, that I realized that this was, I think, the first match I showed my friend with Laparca in it. And this was the pay-per-view we watched, and we went, that dude's fucking hilarious. And we went from there.
Lismark Jr., whatever the fuck his name is.
Yes, Lismark Jr.
Murdered Psychosis with a lariat. Yes. I'm talking, I don't think I saw Psychosis for the rest of the match after that lariat. I'm pretty sure Psychosis died that night.
It was, yeah. Yeah, he crushes him.
Yeah, and then there's just like a space of time where people just, they're just busting out moves like it's nothing. It's just like a rapid rate. Everyone's hitting something. It really finishes off with Hoovy doing a 450 splash. Laparca makes the save.
And then he gets a huge sit-out powerbomb.
Massive. The pin gets broken by, I think, Silver King.
I think so.
So someone did it.
Pink King.
Yeah, fucking Pinky in the Brain over there. Silver King tried doing a flying crossbody to the outside. Missed everything. That man died on the way down there, by the way. We had multiple deaths in this match.
Yeah, no one home. Then we get a run of outside dives.
El Dandy hits a suicide dive. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
So Super Callow hit one first. He hit the senton off the
Who
top.
Who cares about him?
Then El Dandy with the suicide dive. Hoovy dives off Lismark's back onto the whole crowd.
Yeah, the Jeff Hardy special.
Laparca gets lifted to the outside. Springboard corkscrew moonsault.
Yes.
And then an acai moonsault by Lismark. So there's only two wrestlers left. And it's Chavo and Psychosis.
And who is like, dead, by the way. Psychosis is legally not alive anymore.
They're like, we should have a proper wrestling match in the ring.
What's Chavo? So like,
it's what Chavo does.
Chavo only knows one style.
He's the good problem at it, with Chavo.
Yeah, but he only knows one style. So the thing with Chavo. He hits a tornado DVT on Psychosis. 1, 2, 3. That team wins. I forget who's on it.
That is Team Face, Chavo Guerrero, Lismark Jr., Super Kahlo, and Juventud Guerrera.
But after the match is really what matters.
Oh, yeah? Tell the people.
Because Laparca grabs his chair.
His trusty chair.
And decks everyone.
Chair shot for you. Chair
Not just you. The baby faces, the heels as well. He hits El Dandy. He hits Silver King. He hits fucking Chavo. He hits Ultimo. He hits Psychosis. He hits fucking every single person in this match. I swear to God. He decks everyone. He's the last man laying. And at the end of it, I was like, screw Sting. This is the icon.
He, you know, black and white gear.
He did it first.
He did it first.
Actually, I don't know if he did it first.
I mean, he was doing it in AAA, so yeah.
Yeah, he did it first.
He did do it first. Also, if you want more of Chavo Guerrero, you can go back and listen to episode 45.
Yes, where we unfortunately did not cover Kerwin White.
There's a great reason we didn't cover Kerwin White, and that is that it was bad. Speaking of bad, let's talk about Laparca's promo.
Right. Oh, way!
Laparca's promos. I'm sure Laparca, when he is allowed to do promos in Spanish, I'm sure the promos are fine. They're good. WCW's decision was... interesting.
Interesting. I'm sorry. This is the greatest thing ever.
When Vince Russo and Ed Ferreira took over the creative portion of WCW in late 1999, the duo had Ed Ferreira voice dub English over the intercom while La Parca would be doing interviews in Spanish. This is how we learned that La Parca was a fan of Skeletor from Masters of the Universe and other things. There, the clip we've included, if you want to check it out, fullpresswrestling.com. The clip is a compilation of La Parca interview, or La Parca promos. And Javier thinks they're the greatest thing in the world.
I'm sorry. This is fantastic. I cannot believe that you would think otherwise. This is great shit.
I just hate that. So the thing that I think bothers me about it is that they're dubbing a Spanish guy.
But Evan, it's such good shit.
Hold on. They're dubbing a Spanish guy with like African-American vernacular being voiced by Ed Ferrara.
That's the funny part about it.
That's the shitty part. And the voice that Ed Ferrara goes with is a voice, you know, that he's used at parties, you know?
It's a deep voice. It's like,
dig on this. But it's always got, it sounds like it's a little jive guy from the 90s. Dig on this.
Holy shit, you got it perfect. Oh my God.
So the first interview.
It sounds like fucking Ghostface from Scary Movie.
Backstage, he's with Gene Okerlund, who he calls Gino. Because Gino, the Skull Captain, is live in Reno.
And the Parkamaniacs. And all
I did pop when he said Parkamaniacs.
Man, the best thing that I popped for. So I don't know anything about his promos. I did not know anything about La Parca other than the things that I stated previously earlier in this podcast. So when he busts out, when the chairman is into his house, he's got not one, but two steel chairs for you. Yeah. One for me and one for my homies. I fucking lost it, Evan. I lost it.
They are the lines that Ed Ferrara comes up with are pretty funny. Like,
I had it, right?
Yeah.
It was lost.
And then it was gone. Yo, 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 let me speak on this. He's in the ring, the second promo. He's in the ring and he's...
Blue suit,
standing up in a chair, cutting a promo on Fit Finley in Bubba Ray cosplay.
No, I don't think that. I don't think he. No, dude. No. There was two backstage promos, and then it was the Fit
right.
Finley one.
The
blue suit is the second backstage promo where he goes, once again, the Skull Captain is large and in charge and ready to light someone up. Just call me Butter, baby, because I'm on a roll.
Oh, yeah. Then he goes out in the next one. He's out in the ring. And when I say that Fit Finley is in Bubba Ray Dudley cosplay,
yes,
holy shit, he is.
But he also looks like Surfer Sting.
Yeah, Fit Finley might have been made in a lab with just other parts of other wrestlers. There's like, what else can we steal? Commentary says, is that really La Parca's voice? What do you think? And I loved it.
When you scope the chair, you don't need the 411. It's the 1-4-1-4. One for me and one for my homie.
In terms of lines that are going to get an automatic pop from the crowd, like, put this up there with, like, the best of them. This is, like, his Millions and Millions. This is
number one. I know. This is number fucking one.
The 1-4-1-4. He cuts a promo on Meng.
Haku!
He cuts a promo on Haku, which is the most dangerous thing you can do.
The most scary individual in the history of professional wrestling. And he goes, hey, Jungle Jim, you're going to need one, or I'm going to give you one chance to step off before I knock the kinks out of that Angela Davis looking natural you got going. Although the suit is fire. Absolute flames. Fire.
The last promo we get is really funny, and it's when it becomes like weirdly meta and self-aware. La Parca is cutting a promo in the ring on Buff Bagwell, and he's got signs in his shirt, and he like pulls them out of his gear saying, I'm not the one saying this, and I'm sorry. Like,
that's such great mannerisms too. And he's like, please God.
He's begging Buff Bagwell, like, please.
I'm not even holding the microphone.
Yeah. And gets Buff Bagwell to hug it out with him. Buff believes him. Buff's like, all right, La Parca, I know you weren't cutting those promos because as dumb as my gimmick is, I'm not an idiot. I know how an intercom works. And then Laparca clocks him when he goes for the hug. What the fuck, man? Unnecessary.
Because he's Laparca. He's awesome.
He is awesome. The promos, as much as like I have now that I have spoken my piece on why I think that they were kind of a shitty idea, because again, in the late 90s, early 2000s, heaven forbid anybody in wrestling speak another language. Because wrestling is apparently, especially in WWE and WCW, wrestling was made for people who speak English. So this ties into me with like Kai and Tai's shitty dub with Shane McMahon, all that shit. Honestly, the lines they wrote, some of them were very fucking funny. The 1414 line, I popped. I thought it was great.
Dude, anytime he said for my homies, I was gone. Anytime he spoke, I was out of here. I got sent through the fucking sun 14 different times during this promo compilation.
Let's take our last break. When we get back, we're going to look at Laparca after he leaves WCW and heads back to Mexico. Back from the break. Laparca would leave WCW in 2000. I wish, I pray to God that he would have been part of the invasion angle, but unfortunately, not all dreams come true. Just him beating the shit out of Kurt Angle. Just give me what I want.
Who gives a fuck about Brock Lesnar, the big young star, the next big thing, whatever the fuck, running through the entire roster? That's cool. Everyone's a tough man until the chairman of the fucking board comes to town.
That's right. We are looking instead at a match that was highly regarded on both Cage Match, which is one of the places that we use to find matches, and the Interrupts. If you look up best Laparca matches, this one comes up a lot. It is a match against El Hijo del Santo, who we saw in our first match, from an independent show, December 23rd, 2001. It is a no disqualifications match, and it is a different side of what we've seen in Laparca. We saw like the technical side in the first match. We saw more of his personality come out, as much as it was, you know, pretended personality, but like his charisma and his mannerisms in WCW. This match is an absolute brawl, and it looks like there are dead bodies at the end of it.
This is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I, like, legitimately the most scared I've ever been watching a match was Judgment Day 2004. The Eddie Guerrero JBL match, yes. Where Eddie blades and he cut in the wrong area, cut
way too deep too. Yeah,
he's bleeding like a fucking stuffed pig. Mike,
stuck pig.
Shut
one
the
day
fuck up.
Show me a stuffed pig that's bleeding.
I don't fucking know. I've never seen a pig bleeding before.
Yeah, I guess me neither. Okay, yeah, carry on.
And so like he's just bleeding like crazy. This match legitimately might be the second one. This is insanity. This is up there with like Brock Lesnar's Undertaker's Hell in a Cell from 2003. This is up there with like some of the most brutal matches I've ever seen.
So when doing some research online, I found that El Hijo del Santo comes up pretty commonly as like a great rival for Laparca. There's him, there's Juventud Guerrera. I think one of the other guys from our first match was included on the list. I think it was Octagon is usually a Laparca rival. The fact that this match, from what I can tell, is not part of any longstanding feud. It's just from an independent show or like a smaller show in Mexico is insane when you look at the amount of carnage that we end up with. The match starts. Santo immediately is attacking Laparca, sends him to the outside, toss into steel steps. El Santo's yelling at wrestlers at ringside. There's just wrestlers just fucking hanging out at ringside during this match, which is weird. It ties into the like independent vibe that there's like, we had our match. We just want to see what the main looks like.
Some in their gear, some not in their gear. It's very
people
weird.
Just vibing, just hanging out.
One guy looks like Dragon Lee. I don't know what's going on here.
He brings the Parka into the ring. We get top rope shoulder block and then a deep camel clutch from El Hijo del Santo. Yeah. Santo's in control early. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, the camel clutch leads to the first fall, no?
Is it the first fall? Yeah.
It was pretty immediate that the first fall came down because he's beating his ass around ringside for a little bit, and then he gets him back in the ring. He hits the flying crossbody right into the camel clutch, and he gets the first fall.
Okay. This is also when I noticed that there is a kid in full luchador stuff at ringside, like in the crowd. He's not like a tiny luchador. Incredible. It's one thing to like, you know, I bought one of the cheap Mysterio masks when I went to a SmackDown. Like that's,
I never
that,
did.
That was the vibe. But this kid's in like a legit mask and looks like he's in like wrestling gear. And I was like, are you going to hop the barricade and just
is this
like,
Izzy?
All the things about Izzy and her parents makes me laugh really hard, but also makes me upset because like,
so stupid.
Why can't we let MSK get over?
It's so stupid. It's so dumb.
It is dumb. Wrestling's dumb. That's why we watch it every week.
Exactly. La Parca finally gets some sort of offense into this match.
Yeah.
Legitimately 9 minutes in.
Yeah, he dodges a cross body, and that's when he really starts to pick it up.
Yeah, he starts throwing Santo around ringside like crazy. He just does not care about this man's well-being. Launches him into seats, launches him into everything. He gets a bucket, like a paint bucket.
He's got a bucket. He's
like, just starts right. beating him with that. Santo at one point gets busted open, and La Parca just opens that gash the fuck up.
So we talked about this being a brutal match. At one point, they zoom in on El Santo's face, and he has his mask has been ripped a little bit or torn right at the top of his head. They zoom in on him for a little, and he starts bleeding through the middle of his forehead through the mask. And I'm like, how deep is the cut on this man that it is bleeding through a full mask, and you can just see it. It just and like immediate too. It just. There it is. This is fucking gross.
Yeah, it's not great. Here's the thing with this match that really gets me is it's a spoiler, but like not really because I'm not going to tell you who wins. Like both these men are wearing white gear, like yeah. completely all
the
white. Gear.
In the all whites. Yeah,
yeah. Santo, I think, only has white gear because the two times we saw him this episode, he was wearing all white.
He's got a silver mask, and it always goes with the white gear.
Same shit. And by the end of it, both of them now have red gear.
Yeah, it's strong Steve Corino vibes. I have bleach blonde hair. No, you don't. Not by the end of most of your matches.
You are a redhead now.
Yeah,
Steve.
You are a ginger.
And yeah, so we do that. The seats are covered in blood at one point here because Santo gets thrown into one of the seats. They're like benches that are tied together. I always forget what the heck those are called. And he just hits one of them like with the side of his head. The blood like ricochets off of his head onto the seat, and you just see it. The seat is like it's not white, but it's like a lighter shade of like a rare or some sort of color, maybe a blue. And
that shit was sure colored though.
That shit got fucking painted red. It was hilarious.
This is why I never understand. I don't know how much into true crime you are. But whenever I'm watching like a true crime documentary or like a doc, it's like there was blood on the walls and the ceiling. I'm like, have you ever seen a wrestling match? Once someone's bleeding, if they move their head, blood goes fucking everywhere. Look at the canvas. Look at
how do they? I want to know how people like figure out the trajectory of blood. That's something that's always surprised me.
Then you should watch Dexter because that's what Dexter does.
No, I watched the entirety of Dexter. But like it's just like I could never. But Dexter's also a show, you know. Like it's a TV. It's like not a real TV show.
Wait,
like,
it's not a documentary.
Well, he is coming back.
That's true.
So, but like it's the weird thing where like at a certain point, like how the fuck do you know? Especially if you don't know what happened, like how can you just like basically make a very informed decision? Like, yo, the person was here. Fell this way at this angle, this degree. They got hit at this part of their head because look at the blood.
They got hit with a croquet mallet.
They got hit with a croquet mallet, not a sledgehammer.
No. Gallagher is innocent.
It's so fucking weird. But anyways, La Parca puts on a surfboard. Yeah. Romero special, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And it's the same thing again where the arms get loosened up because Santo has so much fucking blood that he just says, fuck this. It loosens that up, and he's like leaning forward softly, slowly, and La Parca just drops him face first onto the mat.
Then we get a pin. La Parca with the pin right there, right?
La Parca does win because after a little bit, he starts beating on Santo a little bit, and then the refs are just like, stop.
Yeah, so wrestlers are coming to the ring to check on them both, but then we come back and we're still wrestling because it's two or three falls.
Yeah, this is the dumbest shit.
We're only at 1-1.
If we're doing a ref stoppage, do the entire fucking match then.
Ref's like, all right, you get a warning and you lose this one. A red Laparca now is punching Santo at ringside. We get like, it's not a figure four spot. I thought he was about to hit a figure four on the ring post, and then he just didn't.
Yeah.
He like puts him in position, was going to get his legs up, and then just like runs his leg into the like post. Like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, it was weird. We get a big suicide dive into the crowd, and then they get surrounded by the crowd like they're at a fucking like playground fight. Like there's just a horde of people surrounding them on all sides. They're completely enclosed.
Laparca goes, or Laparca celebrating the ring at one point, gets caught from behind in a stretch submission. Laparca goes for a leg drop, hits the top rope instead. Like he's going for like a leg lariat, it hits the top rope. Santo up top, crossbody to Laparca at ringside because he rolled out.
It's nuts.
They're both up top. This is my favorite part of the match. They're both up top. Laparca gets crotched. They're both on the ground then. And the ref drags El Hijo del Santo onto Laparca.
They both got crotched.
Yes, they both got crotched. And then they're like, let's just put the baby face on top of the heel. Let's do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So El Hijo del Santo, they just like plays him on top. Love the refs getting involved.
Yeah, and then Santo, just right after that, casually kicks Laparca right in the fucking nuts.
Right in the dick.
Square the nuts, pins him. Then another ref comes in.
There are two like, refs, and they are fighting.
Tosses that ref out, which is weird. He literally just picks him up and then like throws him across the ring. That ref counts to three, but Santo doesn't win. He gets DQ'd.
I have no idea how this match ends.
Commentary said that he got disqualified.
Thank you for being able to understand Spanish. Because I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Like, they were like, okay, so he wins. And then a second later, they're like, no, he's getting disqualified.
It's a great match. It ends in a very confusing way. If you like absolute bloody brawls, this is the one this week to go watch.
Although, honestly, kind of liked it.
Yeah, it's not my
usual... No, kind of like the convoluted finish.
You like that it was weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Match like that kind of just deserves a weird finish.
It was a brawl. Neither person's walking out of there a winner. Yeah. They're both losers.
Nobody's won this shit.
No, it's a bad time. Let's move to our last match, which of course is Laparca versus Laparca. Let us explain.
Don't say us.
Let me explain. This is, again, taken directly from the Wikipedia. Laparca was busy working exclusively for WCW for a number of years, and the guy who runs AAA, Peña, had given the Laparca outfit and character to another wrestler who was under a AAA contract and had him working as Laparca Jr. from late 96 on, cashing in on Laparca's popularity in the States. Initially, there was no issue with there being two Laparcas, with a Laparca and Laparca Jr., because the main Laparca only worked in the U.S. independent promotions and for smaller Mexican promotions. It was when Tapia, who is the original Laparca, signed with CMLL, who was AAA's main rival, in 2003, that the owner Peña said, you can't be named Laparca. So what did Peña do? He renamed Laparca Jr. Laparca and said that the original Laparca could not be Laparca anymore because he had the copyright to it. There was a legal battle, and it forced Tapia, who is the Laparca we've been watching for the last four matches, to change his name to L.A. Park, with the last K being capitalized and is supposed to be pronounced La Auténtica Parca, even though the word park does not have a second syllable. He's like, it does. Just go with it, all right? It's fine. Yeah. In subsequent years, both parties filed various legal petitions to claim that they were taking over the copyright. For a while, original Laparca was barred from appearing on television wearing his black and white outfit. Instead, he wore a modified version of the outfit with black and red, black and yellow. He also changed the mask a little bit to look more like Darth Maul from Star Wars Episode 1. But eventually, original Laparca got re-signed for AAA, leading to this match at Triple Mania 18, where it was L.A. Park, who is our guy, the guy we've been watching this whole time, versus new Laparca. For those who are keeping score at home, this newer Laparca, a different wrestler entirely, goes by the name of Jesus Alfonso Huerta Escoboza. He passed away in January 2020. You probably heard news about Laparca passing away. It is the new Laparca, not the one who'd been wrestling in WCW. Clear as mud? Clear as mud.
Yes.
The shitty thing about this match because the match is cool. Their gear is almost identical. They did nothing to change it. If you're watching this match with us, Arla Parka, the one we've been watching the whole time, LA Park, is in the white hood. He has white around the hood rim. He also has a white belt on.
He's the fatter one. He's the bigger one.
And La Parka Red is the new one. Also, we're in a six-sided ring, which just blows my mind. The idea that, because it just seemed like such a gimmick that was just TNA's thing. And then whenever I see a six-sided ring anywhere else, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? What did you think of the match?
I liked it. I didn't think this was a bad match by any stretch.
No, it's good. It gets confusing. It gets
super confusing.
This match is for the naming rights to La Parka, according to AAA. And it was the main event of Triple Mania. Like, this was the main. The mega championship and everything, that was before. This match had so much heat that they're like, this is the main event, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when people do, when that stuff happens, is when you prioritize the best storyline over the title, you know, because sure, the title might be the most valuable thing in the company, but when you have a hot story, that should be the main event no matter what.
The story they were telling also, so LA Park, I'm going to just probably call him Original La Parka. Original La Parka, he was the heel. He was the Rudo. Unfortunately, the fans love him and were cheering for him pretty much the whole match.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, fuck the new guy. We want OG.
He was La Parka King. Original.
And he controls the very early portion of this match a lot.
Yeah.
He chair shot to the back of La Parka Red. He tears the mask of him out in the crowd. He runs all the way up the ramp. And I was like, is he just done? The match is over. He's just going to go home. And then he runs back with a table, because I guess nobody put it under the ring. It's not like American wrestling, where there's always tables under the ring. They're like, oh no, we put it in the back with catering. He's like, well, fuck, now I got to go get it. All right. Take all this food off it. All right. Were we done? Can I use it?
It's fucking crazy here. Like, he tries ripping off the mask at one point.
Yeah, out in the crowd. It's crazy.
He tries using a fire extinguisher.
Yep. That was weird.
He sets up a table and is just like, you know what would be better than just a table? A table with a chair on it.
Yeah. Let me put my trusty chair right on top.
And then he gets up on the top rope. He tries to, it really kind of looks like he's going to go for a superplex, but instead he gets superplexed through the table.
Yes. This is also after he started biting the head of new La Parka.
I don't like this. I don't like how we keep having to say new La Parka.
New La Parka. He smashes part of the table over. So there was the first table.
There's like a cutting board type of shit. Homie takes like a cutting board. It looks like. I don't fucking know what the hell it was. I mean, just breaks it on this man's head.
So that was the part of the first table. There was the first table. Original La Parka put new La Parka through it. Then he grabbed part of the table, clocks him with it. Then we get the spot where old La Parka gets tossed through the table by new La Parka. This is fucking who's on first level of confusion right now.
New La Parka tried to rip old La Parka's mask.
If I can't have my mask, neither can you.
There's someone, I don't fucking know what happened here. Someone tried to do it to someone. My notes are now confusing me.
So new La Parka rips the mask off of OG La Parka as well.
I'm so confused because I thought La Parka was La Parka. So now I'm rooting for La Parka when I should be rooting for LA Park. Massive chair shot by La Parka. And I wrote Go King, but now it's like kind of fuck you. RIP, but fuck you. We get a belt shot from new La Parka.
I was so annoyed because the belt was the way I was telling them apart for a while. But once he took the belt off of La Parka OG and La Parka new 2.0 or 2.0 was beating him with it, I was like, well, now I can't fucking tell them.
New
2.0, baby. La Parka new 2.0. You know, what do you know about that?
That's the most 2000s thing ever.
We are new 2.0. Cool. You're going to go broke in 6 months.
Not even.
So then La Parka Classico pushes La Parka Red off the top rope.
La Parka Red.
La Parka Plus hits a suicide dive on La Parka. I just started coming up with new names for them.
La Parka is in the ring. He starts doing a little too much taunting.
Yes.
And then old La Parka Old man LaParker comes in and he just puts on like a backbreaker kind of stretch. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to describe it other than that. Just a backbreaker stretch, really. Baby LaParker jumps off the top rope with a cold breaker,
which is really nice.
Yeah, I love a top rope cold breaker. I don't know if it really does much as far as the move goes, because like you're not taking the person with you. You just jumped off the top rope and hit a cold breaker.
Yeah, just a different way to get there.
LaParka's mask, or sorry, old LaParka.
Yeah.
His mask is basically off.
Yeah, LaParka Uno has no mask, pretty much. LaParka Dos still kind of has a mask, but he's also bloody. It's a lot. It's a lot of
and
weird
Viejo
shit.
And Viejo LaParka has no fucking mask. He's bloody, so you can't really see his face, like tell his face, but the mask is no longer covering his face.
At one point, we get a spinning DDT by LaParka dot new dot save dot file.
There's a ref bump, and the ref is perfectly fine. He just gets to the outside, and he is okay.
Ref is just fine. Let's go to the end of this match.
I need to tell you what happens after this.
Okay.
So the ref was fine, and you're just like, oh my god, I've witnessed a miracle. And it's like in like funny movies or like horror movies where they're just like, holy shit, I dodged something. It's totally okay.
Yeah.
And then they die like immediately following that, because the ref is fine. He's dusting himself off. He's good. He took a bump. He's outside. He's whatever. And then LaParka, old LaParka, or new LaParka, I don't even fucking know.
It was old LaParka.
Comes and just suicide dives the fuck out of him because new LaParka moved out of the way.
So
now referee is dead.
Now the referee is down. L.A. Park, who is our original LaParka, hits a tombstone, which in Lucha Libre, in AAA, is
no. He set up for it. He didn't hit it.
Yeah. So he hit the tombstone under the chair. He connected with it.
Oh shit!
A chair is slid in the ring, and one of the men at ringside, who is a AAA, like they're Vince McMahon, from what I gathered.
Official.
He's an official. Interrupts him. LaParka fucking bodies him with a chair after moving the other guy.
Dorian. Yeah, Dorian got fucking rocked.
Dorian got clobbered. It was great.
And then this other dude got rocked too.
Yeah, another guy clocks LaParka twice with a chair. Some more wrestlers move in. Los Perros del Mal is what their name is, like the group name is.
Which is a weird way of saying bad dogs.
I was going to say, Perro's a dog, right? Like,
I don't know why it's Los Perros del whatever. It should just be Los Perros Malos.
But they're like, nah, the dogs of bad.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird.
They come in, throw L.A. Park on LaParka.
Yeah.
And I guess he won.
And a heel ref counts the three. Here's the confusing part, because up till now, in real life, the LaParka that we have been covering still goes by L.A. Park. And as I said, the wrestler who was going by LaParka passed away in 2020. It was announced after the match results that they were going to be thrown out due to the interference by Los Perros del Mal. It was confirmed that original LaParka won the match and will be known as LaParka once again. And then in June, AAA announced that they would respect the Mexico City Boxing and Wrestling Commission's decision to throw out the match result. And as a result, LA Park would remain LA Park, who is the LaParka we've been covering the whole time, and new LaParka would remain new LaParka. So they had this huge build. It was the main event of Triple Mania. And they're like, J fucking K.
Absolute shit show.
We're not going to remember. It's a shit show. It's the most confusing match you'll ever see. It's not like Undertaker versus Undertaker where you're like, oh, that one is Undertaker.
Yeah.
That one right there. That one
is very
Mark
clearly
Callis.
The real one.
Yeah. That's all five of our matches. We ended on a very confusing note, but you know what? It was a really good time.
We thug it out anyways.
You seem to have become a disciple of LaParka.
I am in. I am all in. This is not my favorite wrestler of all time. I am serious when I request this. I need more LaParka matches. Evan, send me more.
And he's still going. He's in Major League Wrestling right now, where he is one half of the tag champs, I believe, with his son, El Hijo de LA Park.
I don't care about his son, unless his son is also the exact same as his father, in which case, yes, bring him on. But my God, this is incredible. The promos, I don't care that you didn't like them. I fucking love them. That shit was hilarious. Ed Ferrara, now that I know it's Ed Ferrara, like whatever. Ed Ferrara's kind of a dick. But like, man, they were fucking funny as shit. I enjoyed this so much. It's like I always say, I either love really, really good, really technical wrestling, or I love like the crazy shit, the really funny, really off the cuff, really off the wall, like oddball shit. And this guy just gave me both.
Yeah,
he does. And I appreciate that.
It's a really good time. La Parca existed in this like world for me as one of my guys, right? Every time my buddy and I would see him, we'd pop. We thought it was great. Being able to deep dive into like, why was he named LA Park? That whole history. Where did he come from? What was he like?
You deep dive it twice for me.
Yeah, so many deep dives. It was really great because now I feel like I know a little bit more about him as a wrestler and kind of see where his performance has gone. The fact that he is still doing it at 55, his birthday is coming up in a week or so, and he'll be 56 and he's still wrestling, still doing it. And still,
you know,
doing
what's
it
crazy?
At a high level. Yeah.
He is the same age as New La Parca, who's the one that passed away.
That is crazy.
He was the same. I was just, when I looked it up earlier, which La Parca passed away, the other La Parca passed away at 54.
Jesus.
And that was last year. So yeah, he's like a year older.
You'd think if you're going to give the gimmick to somebody, you'd give it to somebody younger than the guy you stole it from.
He's younger. He's just only a year younger.
Jesus. I love watching La Parca matches. I want to dive in and watch more WCW Cruiserweight specifically. I might have to go back and watch some more matches.
Or we could do them for this podcast.
Yeah, we probably could.
Because we have an outlet to do it.
Let's talk about who we have coming up for our next three-parter. It is, you know, episodes 89, 90, and 91 as we slowly but surely approach time for episode 100. Also, tell us what to do for episode 100. We don't know yet. Tell us what to do.
We really don't. It's kind
tell
of
us
bad.
What to do. Yeah, we're going to figure it out. Well,
might be the Mabel do. Episode. Who knows?
Fuck, maybe. We are covering the career of Samoan Joseph.
Joe is gonna kill you.
Not Roman Reigns, not that Samoan Joseph, but actual Samoa Joe. We're doing three different episodes, one on his time in the Indies and Ring of Honor, one on TNA, and one on WWE.
Yes, I'm very excited. I fucking love Samoan Joseph. Samoa Joe's awesome. He was legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers. When I was, you know, in that phase where I was watching Impact or TNA, when I was watching Ring of Honor in the, you know, mid to late 2000s into the 2010s as well, he was always one of my guys. I just like the look of him. I love the style. He always had this intensity to him. He was a great promo always.
Yeah.
And he just had this kind of genuineness to him.
He is so incredibly believable.
Yeah, it's what made him so fun in WWE in the main roster when he was called up, especially that feud with Brock Lesnar. Like, the guy was just made. He was just good. He was just awesome. He's one of those people that just gets it. He has this like aura to him.
He has an innate sense of the business. And they always say, you always hear commentary talk about in WWE, like, if you built a wrestler from the ground up, it would look like Randy Orton. Yeah, if I didn't get to build it, but I had to pick somebody who, that dude's a fucking wrestler, I would pick Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
If I saw that dude, I was like, that dude, he beats the shit out of people for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at him. There's no way he doesn't. And yet, from all accounts, he's like the coolest fucking dude too.
Yeah. Genuinely a great person.
That. Yeah. Love that. So we're going to dive into Samoa Joe for three straight weeks, starting next week. Always love doing the three-parters, getting a little bit more of a deep dive. So it's a good time. I'm really excited.
I'm also very excited. And man, I'm really excited to go through with the Indies ROH stuff, especially the TNA stuff. Because I'm just going to spoil it right now. There's a certain match that he has in TNA, which in my opinion is one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. It may or may not be a triple threat match.
Mm. I know the match you're talking about.
And that is all I'm going to say about it.
And I've only seen it once, so I'm very excited to dive back into it. That is going to wrap up this week's episode. Before we let everybody go, I mean, you could turn us off, but please don't, because we have a couple things. Follow us on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Check out the merch, fullpressshop.com. Cop the new t-shirt. Send us tweets showing us that you're wearing it. It would be cool as hell. Javier, any final words for the people?
Ah, yes. This week on Life Advice with Javier. Javier started a new job.
Yes. He's a busy boy.
I'm a working boy. We're actually recording this on a Friday this week because I was way too busy to do it yesterday, which I hope is not a trend, but life. And yeah, it's fun. It's nice. It's an engaging thing. You know, we're moving. You know, life goes on. Everything's looking good in the world for me right now, which is something I appreciate. But again, this is probably a reused one that I've done a couple weeks back. But like, remember, appreciate the highs when you've got them, man, because they don't always stick around. For me, I'm really excited. I've got this new job. There may be a few women in my life that I am
conversing with.
It's really just one, but there are multiple prospects. And, you know, everything's trending.
If you, too, would like to be a prospect, you just call them up.
If you listen to this podcast, you have no chance. and yeah, no, it's one of those things where everything's trending upward. I'm really happy about it. You know, had a discussion with my therapist actually earlier this week, you know, about how good everything is. And it's really something that she mentioned to me was keeping things balanced. So, like, don't let yourself, you know, let yourself feel this high and feel the happiness, obviously, and enjoy and embrace it. But don't let yourself think that this is now the foundation of your life.
Yeah.
Because there will be downs, and you don't want those downs to get you in a place where you feel like you can't recover from them because you've set your expectations.
You don't want the downs to bring you way, way down.
Yeah. So remember that. Just keep that in mind. When things are going good, enjoy it. I'm not saying don't enjoy it. I'm not saying don't like relish in it, because yeah, it's fucking important. And when life is great, life is fucking awesome. But temper expectations with the way life goes, because as humans, we are people of peaks and valleys. So just remember that, you know, keep a base, keep that foundation, baby, because you don't, when things dip below that, you don't want the foundation to be so high that the dips that are just average become like nightmares for you. And you don't want the really bad stuff to become unbearable, because that's when problems get too bad, you know.
And when things are sad, watch La Parka matches.
Yes, and when things are bad, watch La Parka matches.
Yeah, they'll make you happier. Also, practical life advice: if you have fruit flies, red wine vinegar in a little thing, and you put some plastic wrap over the top, and you poke holes in it, and it'll kill them. There you go. That's you know, a little bit of life advice from Evan.
We have a lot of fruit flies. If you ever see me, Evan, by the way, doing this, it's because there's a fly.
Fucking flies.
My mom has a ton of plants. That's why.
That's going to wrap up this week's episode with a double dose of advice. We will see you next week for some Samoa Joe.